You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. We'll be in touch with the program. Use your texting device. Let me know what you think. Mike Rogers coming, backtracking on a potential deal with Hakeem Jeffries on House Speaker. Now we'll back Jim Jordan. Faced a little heat back at home in his district. I think number one, and then number two, just sort of a national conservative movement there really got to him. But we can talk more about that as the show unfolds. Still to come on the program, Rusty Glover, a former state senator. We'll talk 98, some other things are going on in the state, so please stay tuned for that. But joining us now, we do this every other Monday, I'm very pleased to be joined by State Representative Shade Stringer, Citronelle. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Good morning, Jeff. Appreciate you having me.
I always appreciate you coming on, making time for our program. Well, let's start here. Let me get this out of the way. You spoke to the West Mobile Republican Club last week. Our new star reporter, Jim Ziegler, got some of your comments. But you indicated that you're interested in at least doing something along the lines of reforming the Alabama Department of Public Health. What do you have in mind there?
Well, I mean, it comes down to accountability and checks and balances, and I don't feel like we have that right now in the state with our health department. I think we need to have something in place, maybe where the governor appoints the public safety officer, public health officer, and, you know, it would have to be confirmed by the Senate, and that would give us some checks and balances in place to make sure that we're putting the right person in place and that they are accountable to somebody. We've seen a lot across the country and the nation and the state throughout the COVID event, and you know, the COVID mandates, we had to come back and pass laws and legislation addressing some of that, dealing with forcing the vaccinations on people. You know, I had two relatives that lost good jobs because they refused to take the vaccination. So, you know, we've got to get something in place. I'm working with LSA at this time, trying to draft something to get it ready, and hopefully I'll be able to get it pre-filed before the 24 legislative session.
Have you, how similar is this to what Sam Gravan tried last year? The problem they ran into, Representative, was it looked to me like, for a few of the members in the Senate, and this is probably a frustration for a lot of you guys in the House, but all it takes is one or two and to derail business for the day in the Senate, and that's really where this thing kind of died in the Senate last year.
Yeah, and I suspect I'm going to meet some of the same challenges, you know, with this piece of legislation. We've got to keep trying. It comes down to different members, you know, just having their opinions on things. So, you know, all I can do is do what I know is right and what my constituents are asking, and that is to try to address this issue through legislation and, you know, pray that we can get enough support to get something done. We'll just keep working on it and try to put some checks and balances in place for our citizens.
Well, how much widespread support do you think there is? Because I would have to think there's probably more, at least behind the scenes, if anything, for something like this. It's something that I, at least from a lot of members, I mean, you haven't heard a whole lot about, but it does seem like there's some hay to be made right there.
I suspect we'll have a pretty good bit of support in the House. The Senate, I'm not sure of. I think that, as we get the ball rolling or whatever, it's going to be just like some of the other bills or issues I've carried, you know, from vaping to the permit bill. It's going to be a hot topic. You know, it's going to be probably some heated discussions on both sides of the issue, but I think at the end of the day, we'll be able to get enough support to do something with it in the House, and then we'll just have to lobby and push the Senate the best we can.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program, Representative, probably something really, and this is a teachable moment for a lot of us, I think, but what we saw in Israel two Saturdays ago, and in Israel, they don't have a Second Amendment. You can't own a firearm. It's not a right, I guess I should say. You can't own a firearm, but depending on some circumstances. But well, you know what might two Saturdays ago have looked like if they had had a Second Amendment and Israelis were able to defend themselves with a firearm? And it's this whole discussion, you know, constitutional carry and what all that means. But, like, you know, it's a good, like I said, a good teachable moment about the Second Amendment and something that you've really championed.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very important issue and a very important topic. And, you know, we have seen two times recently in world history where that would have been a major contributing factor to what happens in a country. You know, of course, recently we've seen it with Israel, and after they were attacked and, you know, that conflict has started, they have reduced restrictions on gun purchases, ammo purchases, and permitting for guns to defend their country. You know, it would have been a lot better to have had that in place prior to the conflict and, you know, potentially would have saved lots of lives by citizens being able to address some of these issues, since the law enforcement and the military were not able to be everywhere. So, and then again, we've seen it, you know, several months ago with the Russia-Ukraine incident, where Ukraine were, you know, started passing out assault rifles to citizens after they were being attacked and raided by Russia. That's a little too late. You've got to have something in place, training and knowledge of these weapons way before it ever gets to that point. So I think it's proved a valuable point to the United States why the Second Amendment is so important and so valuable. And I hope that others will catch on and realize this, and we don't have to make the same mistakes as other countries have made.
I mean, that's sort of the notion about the United States, so many people being armed, not that this is ever a threat or anything, but a ground invasion of the United States would be a very, very, very difficult, because you have a built-in homeland protection mechanism there with an armed public, right?
Absolutely. And I think that, I think we have a high risk or high threat in the United States with our borders being open for, you know, the last year or two or longer. And I think it's going to, you know, that's going to bite us at some point. But, you know, in the states that have constitution carry, permitless carry, and it makes it easier for citizens to own guns and carry guns, I think you're going to, if there's incidents in those areas, our state for sure, it's going to make a major difference and save lives.
Well, and you know, you took some heat back a couple of years ago, particularly from local law enforcement here. And, you know, here's the question. Now that we're a year or so and some change into the constitutional carry experience, or whatever you want to call it, how's it going? I mean, it's not the doom and gloom that was forecasted, is it?
No, I mean, that was one of the points that the Sheriff's Association was pushing out, that, you know, it was going to be the end of the world. They even quoted it was going to be the Wild Wild West. And, you know, as you say, we're well into this, and nothing has really changed. I mean, from what I understand, people are still buying permits, maybe not as much as they were when they were concerned about the world coming to the end during the last presidential election or any of that, when ammo sales and gun sales went through the roof, but they're still purchasing permits. Things are still you know, say our law enforcement are still safe and our communities are still safe. So, you know, it was a, I think a lot of that was just, you know, of course, trying to fight their cause and to block it. And it was, you know, my opinion, it came down to money and funds, and the legislature stepped up and attempted to help with that, with the grant process to hopefully replace some of that money that's lost, if it is lost.
Well, that was going to be my next question. We haven't seen any wholesale collapse from any of the 67 sheriff's departments around the state, have we? I mean, this, you know, that was another problem, was the funding mechanism from the permit fees. But it doesn't sound like there's as much calamity as some were forecasting.
No, I've talked to sheriffs, you know, just about every week across the state, and almost every one of them I've spoken to said everything's going okay. You know, I've had some that said their permit sales did drop, but like I said, we were expecting that. You know, a lot of that was not from the permit constitution carry legislation. That was because we had had a spike during the presidential election, the last presidential election, and all the riots that were going on up in the north part of the country and around the country, and, you know, blocking interstates and dragging people out of their cars. People were scared, and gun sales, ammunition sales, permit sales went through the roof. But we also knew that that was going to, you know, drop back to, I guess, a normal rate at some point once everybody realized that everything was going to be okay.
Well, and you know, you took a lot of heat for it. How is, I mean, are you mending any of these relationships? I know that you were at the height of this thing, were like really, really a target of a lot of these guys, but that is that cooled off some?
Yeah, I mean, I had a base relationship with most of these sheriffs across the state, and, you know, and they're all, you know, realizing and knowing that I'm still Shane. You know, I carried a piece of legislation for my constituents, and, you know, the polls that we did showed that it was wanted and it was needed. So, you know, at the end of the day, we work for the citizens and the people, and I think they understand that. You know, they fought, you know, out of fear or concerns of the money, but I think they're realizing it ain't as detrimental as they thought it was. But, you know, at the end of the day, we should have never been relying on permit sales to fund sheriff's departments. That is not a function of law-abiding gun owners in Alabama. So we should have long, long time ago addressed that and found other ways to address the needs of our law enforcement and sheriff's departments.
Representative, a few more things before I let you go here, and we are, what, 4 months of some change away from the session. And I know we talked about this a little bit last time you were on, but does it still look like gambling and ethics are still going to be the two hot button with a shot at school choice this year?
Yeah, that's what we're hearing. You know, and it appears that the gaming issue has more traction it's ever had. So, you know, I think that's going to go. The ethics thing, it's kind of hard to say where we at with that. Representative Simpson's working hard on that, trying to get it all ready and squared away before, you know, the session. And hopefully we can accomplish that. You know, I've got a few issues outside of the public health department I want to address. I still am looking at something with the ABC board and trying to address that issue. We're still getting concerns and complaints from citizens and constituents, you know, of how they're treated, and basically feel like they're working with an outdated system there. So hopefully we can get that done. But yeah, it's those issues and a few others are aimed to be the top legislation this year.
And our lastly, the Highway 45 question. Well, we were going to talk to Rusty Glover about this later, but it does look like some movement on Highway 98 as well. But some of these transportation priorities for the your district and some of the areas around it, maybe 145 not really changing much, but the other with Highway 98 looks like it's coming together.
Yeah, we're still fighting that fight and working it. You know, I'll be reaching out to ALDOT again today. We've got some issues with a bridge that they've just recently installed at the Washington County line on 45. Got to try to get something done there to remedy a dangerous situation. But we're going to continue to fight and continue to push. You know, I'll be meeting with some of the other legislators in the Senate and different leadership trying to gain support from them. We do have a lot of support from our Mobile area groups, Coastal 150, and pretty much all the cities around Pritchard, Citronelle, Saraland, Mobile, up into Washington County are supporting something being done. And, you know, I don't think we're asking too much for them to go in there and let's start addressing this, you know, maybe 15 or 20 miles at a time instead of just not doing anything. I mean, we're continuously, this project's been overdue for over 40 years, if not more. And it keeps getting, you know, just passed to the next generation and the next and the next and the next. And people continue to die and die and die. So it is time that we step up and try to address that.
Representative, we got to leave it there, but you're always kind and you're always welcome on this program. Let's keep in touch and we'll talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Y'all have a blessed day.
State Representative Shane Stringer there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Just here.